Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild one. Well, that came down to the wire. That was exciting. That was fun. That was a heck of a game right there. And I should mute myself so I don't hear myself repeating in my ears coming from YouTube here. But the Sharks, they closed that one out. They win it over the Wild, who were 7-2-1 coming in. But first, before we get to all that fun stuff, if you are new here, hit the subscribe button, little red button down there. Follow us on all the soch, if you will, at Teal Town USA. Check out the Teal Town website, tealtownusa.com. I don't have a sound drop like Eric does, but yeah, be sure to follow it all on all those things. There are ways of winning prizes. We have ways of making you win prizes if you follow us on the soch. So with that out of the way, and before we get into the game, I should introduce, it's not just me, we are wearing matching shirts tonight, all three of us. First of all, behind door number one, we have Rocket Backhander.
Hello, I am your lovely prize behind door number one, Rocket Backhander.
And behind door number two, wait, no, let's close door number two. We don't want to go there. Never mind. Yes. AJ, what's up, buddy?
Thank you for making me number two, Rocket.
We always know that you're number two, AJ. It's okay. So many bad jokes. Anyways, let's just jump right into this one. I mean, this was a crazy one. Sharks had a 2-goal lead two different times. It was tied at one point in the third, and the Sharks pull away late. But let's just start it with the first period. Sweet pass to Sorensen by Burns makes it 1-0 Sharks. That first period was a lot back and forth, only amounted to two shots for the Sharks, but that was one heck of a goal. AJ, what was your reaction to that?
It was so nice to see Sorensen get off the Schneid. It was a beautiful slapper on a great feed from Burns. And again, I talk about a kid who, I don't know, I felt like he needed to get off the Schneid a little bit, but then again, how much chemistry can you find when you had worked really well with Donskoy and Suomela, and then Thornton returns, all the lines get jumbled up. You're not sure who you're going to be out there. But Sorensen, the beginning, you know, 5 minutes into this, beginnings of a fantastic night for him.
A sleepy mofo in the chat saying we all look like we're part of a cult with these t-shirts. I mean, or we work at the Apple store. Saints, close enough. Either way,
yeah,
we're really the teal equivalent of the Apple store.
What are you trying to say?
Teal geniuses is what he's saying, and he's right.
All hail Hasso. Rocket, what was your reaction to the first period?
All right, first period. It did not seem like the Wild had only suppressed Shark shots down to two. You know, it really was a back and forth period. It felt like, and I don't feel like the Sharks were caught flat footed. And they had enough Jumbo in that. Just having Jumbo in the lineup, I think, really tossed a monkey wrench towards Minnesota. They maybe weren't expecting. And I liked it. I didn't think I would like it. I thought he would make him, you know, oh, it's going to make the lineup older and slower, and I'm not going to like it, and he's just going to come out. But he really still is a lot of fun to watch play. So I always talk about that.
Yeah, and visually Jumbo looks slow in that line, but that was a very effective line all night. And, you know, the shots in that period were 8-2 for the Wild. You know, pretty bad if you're looking at percentages there. Corsi, not a lot better, but better at 40% to 60%. But Wild got a little bit better of the possession that period, but luckily the Sharks managed to get it where it counted on the scoreboard. Not their best period, but not their worst either. Like, I don't think it was as bad as 8-2 might imply. So going to the second, sorry, I had to find my notes here. Sorensen, again, it's going to be a recurring theme here. He was all over the place tonight. He shoots the puck. It goes off of Jumbo in a very weird bounce, but makes it 2-0. That was, you know, again, that line, AJ, what do you make of that line tonight? Because we're going to talk about them a few more times before we're done with the recap here.
The funny thing is that we talked about this, I don't like right around the time Thornton was coming back, or at least when we were projecting that Thornton was going to be back, and there was all the speculation of where do you slot him? Because at that point you had your second and third lines of Couture, Hurdle, and Meyer killing it, on fire, making, I mean, they were making up half of the offense that the Sharks were putting on the scoreboard at that point. Then you had Sorensen, Suomela, and Donskoy doing really well for the third line. So you had LeBanc, Pavs, and Kane at the top. Okay, where do you put Thornton? Where do you put Thornton? It seemed pretty obvious. Bring him back slowly. Put him in the lower line, whether it's centering the third lines and moving Suomela down, putting him in the fourth line. But either way, limit his minutes. This is not a 19, 20, 21 minute player, you know, per game player anymore. Limit his minutes. Bring him back slow. And hello, it's working. It's working really, really well and making the Sharks far deeper. So this is one that I will look at PDB and say, took you a couple games to figure that out, but you got it.
Yeah, this is a team very much in transition. You know, we've had to figure out life post Marlow last year and really life post Joes, so to speak, try to figure out how Thornton still fits in with this team, because it's definitely, this is clearly the team of Couture and Hurdle now. Like that's, if there's one thing that's been clear through the handful of games we have, this is clearly, we are in our post Patty, post Joe, even post Pavel, you know, maybe not fully post Pavelski, but we are moving towards the post Pavelski era, which is crazy to think of, but we're moving there and finding how everyone slots in, even if they're still on the team in the tail end of their time here. It has been tricky. Rock, what did you think of that whole sequence for that goal and how that line performed tonight?
Say that one more time. Which Lance? I'm sorry. I'm reading in chat.
Never read the chat. Don't read the comments, Rock. It's bad.
I know. Sorry. Trying to follow to see if they have anything.
No, I mean, what did you make? I mean, we already talked a little bit about that, but right. What do you make of that line? Because I mean, say we've just started to mention them. We're not even halfway through the game yet. They came up a lot tonight.
The jumbo line.
Yep, jumbo with Sorensen and Gaudreau.
Goody didn't get any credit on that first goal, and that actually kind of made me upset, because he did a great job tying up the guy in front of the net, and it opened up a huge slot for that pass to make it into the back of the net. And they talked about every other person on that line, but they didn't on the broadcast mention Goodrow's name once. I wanted to put that out there. As most of you know, I'm not the biggest Barkley Goodrow fan, but I mean, hard work is hard work, and hard work deserves all the credit it can get. So I want to credit that kid for that. I don't know why this line has chemistry. You know, on paper, it doesn't seem like it would spark anything too magical. It just seems like, okay, I guess it works. So to see it work was, I guess, surprising. I think I'm more surprised than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of gone back and forth. Like, who do you put with Joe? Because he's in, you know, he's in that part of his career where it's like only so many guys will match up well with him. Maybe some guys are too fast. Maybe some guys are too slow to, you know, and find that right mixture. So going from there, the next score we have was the Wild. Parise scores a 2-on-1 in front of the net. And literally as soon as that sequence happened, I just said out loud, 2-on-1, they're about to score, and they score. And then during the replay, Jamie Baker says the exact same thing. My wife just looks at me like, how did you know that? And yeah, I mean, it's the Sharks got a little too wide on their penalty kill. The box got a little too big. Two guys got caught high. I mean, it happens. I'm not going to complain about the refs tonight. The Wild scored on one of their handful of power plays. The Sharks got zero power plays tonight, but pretty clean goal, pretty obvious why it happened. feel like they got a little stretched out in the zone there. Did you guys see anything differently or any different thoughts on that?
I'm going to complain just a scotch about the officials, only in that giving Vlasic the what was it?
The unsportsmanlike?
Yeah, 2 minutes. Yeah. Because you know all it was, because I will say Vlasic has some really profane yet clever chirps.
He's a French-Canadian.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's got very...
Wasn't he the one like was caught on the camera calling someone face?
That would be a Road to the Stadium series episode 4, and it was something he said directly to Drew Doughty.
Yeah. He says, you know, Doughty was going maybe a little too hard, and Vlasic's, you know, if you watch the run-up to the series, as Rocket pointed out, he goes, hey, easy, fuck face. And Doughty looks over, I believe
it was a jar.
Yeah, I know, but looks over. But, well, hey, this is a direct quote. He looked
back over at Vlasic and said, did you just call me fuckface?
No.
If any representative from the Sharks is watching us, we are just quoting directly from one of your players.
Yes, this is why we are saying it, because it's a direct quote from Mark Edward Vlasic. But he looks, you know, looks at Doughty and says, hey, easy, fuckface. Doughty looks over at, I believe it was Braun, and say, he just called me fuckface? And Braun's response was, I don't know. He calls a lot of guys that.
Now, he asked Pickles directly, did you just call me fuckface? And Pickles said, maybe. I call a lot of people fuckface.
Oh, okay. Then that was it. Either way, same for the most part. But this is not the first time we've seen Vlasic get unsportsmanlike for something that he said, which is kind of cool if you think about it. Was it last season or the season before that I believe the entire season Vlasic had 2 penalties, and one of them was for unsportsmanlike?
This is his first of the season here too.
Yep. Yeah, but he never hooks, he never slashes. Yeah, I mean, he's a very clean player. The fact that he's got like more penalty minutes for something that he said rather than something that he did speaks volumes. That's my little bone of contention with the official tonight, where it's kind of like, guys, grow a thicker skin.
Especially when like Jumbo is like getting hooked, that sticks all the way underneath his sweater, and they're like,
yeah, that's fine.
It's incidental. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Incidental contact.
Vlasic tell the officials he was going to take their dogs to a better dog park. Was that what it was?
No, he said he's going to seduce their mom and take their dogs to a better dog park.
I'm going to mow your lawn and edge your grass.
Yeah. Oh, ho, ho.
Where do you think we're at now? You know, like what was tonight? Was tonight game 15 or 14?
I believe it was 14 tonight, if I recall correctly.
So we're this deep, and Erik Karlsson still hasn't scored a goal. It's a little
odd. It's crazy.
And while Thornton has 2, despite missing half the season.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't overanalyze it yet because, you know, it is a small sample size. But I need to go look into what his numbers are normally. I know he's usually very assist heavy, but if he does most of his scoring in December through April, or especially May and June, I'm okay with that. It's definitely still getting acclimated, because like I see him make some stupendous plays, and at times I see him looking a little bit lost, usually on the defensive end, and that's where I think like the confidence, I don't think it's fully there yet.
He did have a ridiculous play tonight where he basically juked 2 of the Wild players to get a pass over on a scoring chance in the first period that was fantastic.
And I've seen a lot of phenomenal breakout passes from like, I don't think he's like fully confident in every aspect of his game yet, because there's times where he looks a little bit lost, but like there are definitely plays he makes where it's like, you can see the superstar talent. It's a matter of, I think maybe some of it's acclimating to the system and where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be, but it's just a matter of time. I'm sure he'd be as confident as Burns, starfishing all over the place and jumping into the play just like anyone else.
Yeah. Let's finish off the second here. We're going to talk about Parise.
Yep. So though we talked about Parise there. Then, you know, so that makes it 2-1. Sorensen setting up Sumela on the breakaway. hell of a pass to set him up. hell of a finish by Samela. That just sweet little backhand to go up the, you know, to go up again 3-1. And yeah, you know, the Sharks end that period 14-19 on shots, so down, but overall for the period they were a plus. Hits were about even. The Wild owned the faceoff circle pretty much all night. They owned it after 2-1 ratio, and they owned it after 3-2-1 ratio. That's probably something we should keep an eye on, because I know we've definitely seen some subpar performances in the faceoff circle by the Sharks this season. But that, I mean, that play, so again, Sorensen, we're saying his name a lot tonight, but that play to set up Sumela, so nice. So good to see Sumela back in the lineup after being out last game.
Well, and let's talk about that for a hot second. PDB takes his ample amount of crap, but let's see what he has done over the last couple of games. He put Sumela in the press box last game. Hey, buddy, maybe we'll watch one from up high. Yeah, you know, haven't been on the score sheet in a while. Haven't liked your game. Let's take you off for a hot minute and see what you think. What happens? Sumela has a great goal. What happened just like a week ago? Charche not having the best string of games. He gets pulled off for a game, put on. What happens in that next game where he's back on? Scores his first ever NHL goal. So it's... that is working out so far. But I will say, I'd really like to see a string of games coming up here where the Sharks are full-on healthy. Because Thornton comes back and then Hurdle's out, or this guy. Come on, man.
Yeah, and I mean, we have given Peter DeBoer ample and correct crap for some of the decisions he's made, but seems like the Sumela decision, so far the early returns, well enough. And obviously, in this case, he had a legitimate reason to break up the Hurdle Couture line. I think, if we're going to criticize him for his bad lineup decisions, we had to give him credit for his good ones. I think, the last couple games, he's definitely been doing the right thing more often. What do you think, Rock?
Yeah, I think that he's had a lot of opportunity, especially with the roster, to make a lot of big missteps by kind of mixing people up unnecessarily, not letting guys develop chemistry, maybe breaking up things that don't need to be breaking up in order to create things that simply aren't there. I feel like his approach to trying to find the natural chemistry in the roster this year is a lot more organic, dare I say. And maybe he just has a little bit more of a, oh, hell, I don't know. Maybe they went in and like feng shuied the locker room and Pete's got a better feel for the team now. Who knows?
They aligned the benches all in the correct directions with the feng shui.
Yeah, they have a water element and a fire element, and they've got a little thing in the corner, and then they all pet the statue when they come in. You know,
they finally found the bright scented candles.
Yes.
A couple comments from the chat. Skylar Greenberg asking, so if we pull Eric Karlsson out for our games, I mean, he'll score his first goal of the season next game.
Yes.
I don't think I would quite do that, because I don't think his problem is performance as much as it's knowing where he should be and when. Because like I said, I think part of it I see, like, I think it's a confidence thing. He's not always sure where he should be all the time. And, you know, that might just be still acclimating to the new system. Jerry F saying it seems like the Sharks win in spite of PDB. I agree at times. I feel like he has made the transition for Karlsson and the transition for the team this year into, you know, it's a younger team than even it was last year. I think he's made it more difficult than it needs to be with some of his decisions, you know, breaking up the Meyer Hurdle Couture line several times. Like, why? I mean, like last couple games, not so much, but it feels like he has gotten in the way more than he should. So there's so many comments in the chat going so quickly here, but any thoughts on those, AJ?
Never supposed to read the chat.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of things. First off, yeah, you're not going to sit, you know, a two-time Norris Trophy winner, no matter how much you'd like to see Simic or he'd get in at least once sometime this season. But I mean, he'll find his game. You just hope it's sooner rather than later. I mean, he is making plays. maybe you put him with Yoki Ryan or something to at least try that. I don't know. A couple of questions on the chat, though, that I did see come through earlier. People asking where they can find one of these badass t-shirts. This was like a limited run. We're out now, but we're actually working on putting together something better. And when that happens, believe me, you'll be the first to know. A couple other people saying that we did break 1,000, so they want to know why they have not seen the Kayla cam. As you can see, I've set this up right here. As soon as we go off air, follow me personally, AJ_strong on Twitter. I will put this on Periscope right on Kayla for at least 15 minutes, and you can just watch this girl sleep. So there you go.
Jessica saying in the chat, she still has her Teal Town USA t-shirt. Yeah. Awesome. Hey. We appreciate that. That's awesome.
Early supporter.
Yeah. The really old school merchandise is the old PAD, Pucknology After Dark merchandise. That's the really good stuff. But yeah. Oh, Jerry saying the Stealth TT USA. We'll have to talk to Puck Guy about designing that one up.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Felix saying we got to make cat shirts now.
Well, we definitely have our cats of Teal Town. We maybe need to like get a thing where like you have just all the different cats. You have Kayla, you have Edgar, and I don't know. Rock, you have a cat, right?
I do not.
What?
I have chili pepper plants. That's it.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have Edgar, Kayla, and chili pepper plants on our t-shirt.
All right.
There you go. Okay. Back to the game, because we just went off on a on quite a tangent there. I do like, though, I'm looking at my notes here, that Apple's kind enough to autocorrect Matt Dumba to Matt Dumb. Thank you very much, Apple. I really appreciate that. Wow. But so we have a couple different things happen. Broken play leads to Spurgeon scoring. Then Matt Dumb is wide open. He just skates it up, decides to tee it up and slap it right up. It's 3-3. And we're like, oh gosh, are we having another Sharks third period like we've had this season? Because the third period has not been their period this season. But the very next possession, Kane blows past the D, barely misses on that one. If he gets a little elevation, that, you know, the score is no longer tied. Not long after that, though, a weird bounce off of a turnover that Burns gets goes off Goodrow's stick. Sharks take the lead and they don't relinquish it the rest of the night. AJ, Rock, what were your thoughts on that whole sequence where they tie it up and then the Sharks take the lead back?
Surprise and relief. Relief. Slight terror.
Yeah, oh, terror. We all feel terror when we're watching the Sharks.
Especially when Burns is involved. Again, Goodrow in front of the net, doing in front of the net things and not really getting talked about too much because Burns is out there with an absolute cannon every shot. Oh, Burns, Burns. And yet again, Goodrow's not getting any freaking love. It's like even when he's not in the doghouse, he's still in the doghouse. And I kind of wonder why.
And a note there, once again, Sorensen is on the ice again. He was on the ice for all four of the Sharks goals. I mean, that,
well,
I'm not a believer in plus minus, but it does say something about the kind of game he had. They were going the correct direction all night long in terms of making things happen for the team scoring wise. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, absolutely. The guy wouldn't sign my jersey today at practice, and he has this ridiculous night. I think I'm going to just have to start showing up to practices and saying, hey, Sorensen, do me a favor, ignore me so you have another 4-point night, or, you know, or plus four and 3 points.
You should say it to Carlson. Hey, Carlson, can you please ignore me? Please don't sign this.
Don't sign this.
Yes. But, yeah, you gotta give it up to I think the Sharks were probably pretty shocked that they give up a goal a minute and not even a minute and a half into the third, and then less than 2 minutes later, boom, it's now a tie game. I'm sure the Sharks were probably kind of like a little stunned. I'm a little surprised that PDB at that point didn't call a timeout, to be honest with you. But then, you know, 4 minutes later, boom, burn slapper off Goody. hey, we're and the Sharks didn't seem to go to a defensive shell after they got the lead back. There's a couple opportunities where I thought they played a little more to protect the lead rather than to try to score another. But either way, hey, it's the first Sharks win in regulation in like six games, like since October 23rd. So at least I'll take that, especially as they now go out for a two-game road trip. Just let's get things back on pace. Hopefully you can pick up a couple wins on the road and then boom, you get six at home to try to dial more things in. Hopefully get the faceoff back to where it needs to be. Work on crashing the net again. That was working really, really well for like a six-game stretch up until the Rangers game last week. And then for some reason, they've stopped crashing the net and they've started doing the long slappers from the blue line again, which they've seen does not work.
Well, I have a question about that, though. So maybe it has something to do with each individual goalie and not so much like this technique works for every goalie. If you just do this, every goalie, maybe it doesn't work that way. So maybe they were crashing the net because they knew it was going to work on that particular defender. Whereas somebody like, you know, Lundqvist is a little bit of a different egg to crack, if you will.
There's probably there might be some truth to that. That's part of it. But I mean, yeah, part of it. I mean, really, though, every goalie, you want to get in their face. Like, there aren't many goalies who are like, well, the long ball is not his deal. He can, he can stop all that close stuff, but he can't with his eyes covered. But no, I mean, it's not a bad point at all, Rock. But I think AJ is not wrong when he says get in front of the net, because every goalie has trouble handling stuff that he can't see and that is coming at him from a very short distance.
He can't see, but a lot of those long shots are from someplace they can't see if the goalie's got three people screening the net in front of him. So,
well, yeah, that's the thing, is I get the guys in front of the net, whether it's to hit the pucks or just to impair his vision.
Yeah, because that's what happened to Jones tonight more than once.
So. Can we at least just, you know, address the elephant in the room and admit why the Wild did not win tonight? Is because they did not go with the kryptonite, which the double kryptonite, which is not only the backup tender, but one that would also bring post-heel syndrome with him.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I would love to have seen Alex Stalock tonight. I would have. Oh, that would have been awesome.
Lost. AJ, you are 100% correct in that theory, I believe. I firmly believe you would have been right. We would have lost this game.
Except for the part where the numbers don't back up any of that. But
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sorry, facts don't care about your feelings.
No, facts don't care about the post-heel syndrome. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, no. Post-heel syndrome is like one of the laws of the universe. We just know, feel bad for our guys up in Ottawa. They had quite a little adventure over the weekend with that wonderful video game release, but we should touch on that when we get to the wraparound in a little bit here. Talk a little Quenneville, the angriest mustache in the NHL.
Absolutely. We did talk about that, but we do have 46 watching now. So, Chris, let them know.
Hey, if you're new here, we're terrible. You probably shouldn't even be watching that. No, the little like button there, that would be helpful. It helps us a lot in the algorithm, you know, computer stuff. Also, if you're new here and you would, I don't know why you'd want to hear more of this, but give us another chance, please. I promise we're normally better than this. Hit the subscribe button. Give us a second shot.
That's not true.
So, wow. I'm trying to make our best. I'm sorry, not a salesman.
These were not the compliments I was looking for.
Yeah. We have ways of making you subscribe, AJ. I don't know if that was Russian or German or what that was supposed to be, but I'm both, so I'm allowed.
Yeah, see your subscriptions, please.
Need your subscriptions. We have ways of making you subscribe if you don't. Okay. Anyways, we should before we reach around the NHL talk scores. First of all, this morning I saw a story come across on my phone when I woke up. It was like Joe Quenneville fired. Reactions, AJ?
I mean, following up The LA Kings firing Stevens earlier. You're talking about coaches that have won five of the last 11 Stanley Cups. That's pretty significant when you think about it. You would think that Quinville's going to get picked up in a hot minute, especially with a team that is underperforming. I mean, we'll see how long Willie D lasts in LA. It wouldn't surprise me if if Quinville ends up there. It wouldn't surprise me if Anaheim makes a play for Quinville.
A lot of people are saying the Blues. I know Blues fans want him because they would definitely like to see a change there. I even saw the meme there where it's the guy looking at the other girl. They had a Joe Quenneville and the Blues coach. It was quite the Photoshop. I think I retweeted that one. That was pretty funny.
Well, and of course you think about the fact that St. Louis has been Chicago's bitch a lot over the last, since 2010. So yeah, I could see that. It's kind of like, yeah, let's get their coach.
Oh, and we see it in the chat there. I know I'm definitely intrigued by the idea of what if they did decide to, they weren't happy with DeBoer. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to start the speculation on that front. But say if there was someone out there, if Dougie's not happy, now is the time to make a move, Doug.
Yeah, but Quinville is going to be employed long before PDB gets canned.
Well, no, I'm saying is if Dougie feels unhappy with current results and maybe have some built up stuff. I don't know. I'm just saying. Now's the time. Now's the time to do it.
that would be the ballsiest move ever by Doug Wilson. I don't think there's any hope in hell that he would do that, but that would be the all-time ballsiest move.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. How many sharks coaches? Actually,
I mean, going for a move. I mean, he already made it. I'm going for a move with Erik Karlsson. That would be I am all in and I'm going all out to get it done.
I think the ballsiest thing Doug ever did, well, for me at least, was to just be like, and LA Kings trade Martin Johnston. Doug's like, so how much you guys want for Martin Jones? All right, let's take him.
That was a nice move.
Yeah.
Under Doug Wilson's tenure, there's really only been what, four coaches? I mean, if I remember, Daryl Sutter got he got canned at the end of the season, right? It wasn't in season. So then you had Ron Wilson. From what I can remember, Ron Wilson was not. End of season. And then same thing with McClellan. The only coach was, I think, Kevin Constantine was canned midseason because then we had to deal with the nightmare of Al Simms. Actually, I might be missing somebody else. I think I am. I want to say Jim Wiley, but either way, it's not a Doug Wilson type of a move, but holy cannoli. I don't know. Quinville's going to end up somewhere. I don't know where, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the Pacific Division.
Yeah. I tend to doubt he'll end up here. If he does, it'll be because Doug is just going, I'm throwing all my chips in the middle of the table and we are going for it. So with that, let's get to your reach around here.
Hold on. In the chat, Fomoko saying, is McClellan next to go? I don't. Edmonton's on like a 3-game win streak. They're above the Sharks. Well, at least they were going into tonight. They were higher than the Sharks in the Pacific Division. I think McClellan has a stay of execution at this point, as long as Edmonton keeps producing. To me, the one on the hot seat is Randy Carlyle, honestly. So,
And I don't even know if he's really on the hot seat as much. We see plenty of coaches get fired for things that aren't really their fault. I don't think the problems in Anaheim are necessarily because of coaching. It's
they've had to deal with a ton of injuries
and just that, you can only sustain being a playoff team for so many years before you, you know, you miss the playoffs eventually. So, you know, and they could always have a bounce back. But with that, let's just jump into what happened tonight. And I'm not going to give as detailed.
Speaking of those jerk offs in LA.
speaking of things I hate that are about 120 miles north of me. So the Kings and Ducks, they did play tonight. And the Kings, you know, this is like one of the highlights of the season. They won a game.
Like I said, mean, if I was the Ducks, I'd want to lose in that jersey too.
Hey,
either way, but the team with the worst record beat the team with the better record in that one. So that helps everybody above them.
Exactly. Two pretty bad teams. But you had Ryan Kesler, Dustin Brown, Kyle Clifford, Kovalchuk, and Toffoli scoring in that one. Kings. And
the winning goaltender in that, not Peter Budaj.
They did not Budaj by the sword or live by the sword. Sad. Yeah, sad. Fake news.
Other good news in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, no, the Kings. So the final score in that one is Kings 4, Ducks 1. And yeah, you're trying to make me jump over the score sheet here, AJ. But also in other good news for the Pacific, the Golden Knights lose to the Maple Leafs, a.k.a. Sharks East, 3-1 in that one. Cody Eakin scores. Brown, Kadri, and Marner score for the Maple Leafs. Rangers beat the Canadiens 5-3. Jackets over the Stars 4-1. See if there's any more interesting ones here. Oh,
no, that was an interesting one, because that means Jackets over the Stars. That means Columbus was able to beat the Bishop.
It's always a memorable night here when somebody beats the Bishop. Senators beat the Devils 7-3. The real Sharks East, not, you know, the Maple Leafs aren't Sharks East. It is the Senators, because they are being held up by no ex-Shark score tonight, though. I don't see any of them on the score sheet. I see Cabot. I see Zingel.
Stone twice, White twice. But how great is that, though, that the Uber Senators video goes viral and then they turn around and beat the crap out of the Devils?
If that video is going to lead to Doug Wilson ripping them off again. Like, yeah. Hey, we'll just take of those guys, we'll take the best ones off your hands right now for Sleepy. Like nothing.
Sleepy Mofo pointing out that Tierney actually had a couple points in that game. So
okay, yeah, he didn't register his goal, but awesome. Yeah, I'm just looking at the summaries here. Also, some more Pacific Division action. Hot Pacific Division action. The Canucks lose to the Red Wings in the shootout, so they did pick up a point on that one, and the Red Wings get no row out of them. The Oilers lost to the Lightning. Yeah, go Lightning. Edmonton, Draisaitl scored, Strom scored, but wasn't enough. Lightning were just that much better. Blues beat the Hurricanes 4-1, and that is your reach around. I don't go as deep as Puck Guy, but I do my best.
But to point out, in the Blues game today, O'Reilly did have a hat trick.
Yep, and we will be playing the Blues, hopefully we'll sing in the Blues, but we'll be playing the Blues this coming Friday night. And be on the lookout tomorrow night, actually. Let's Go Blues Radio, our friend Kurt Price, he's been on the show here quite a few times, will actually be on Let's Go Blues Radio, me and Puck Guy, tomorrow evening. I believe it will be 7 Pacific time. Just keep an eye out on the Twitter. We will be tweeting about that, but we talking with our buddy Kurt Price, and hopefully he'll be on here again soon.
Yeah, and coming up for the Sharks, as you heard in the reach around, Dallas did in fact lose tonight, but prior to that had won 3 in a row, currently 5th in the Central, and that is the Sharks' next opponent. So I don't know. Dallas doesn't really worry me. I don't know. Just since they put $12 million in net between Lettinen and Niemi, I still can't, like,
you can't take them seriously enough.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I just look at them and I go, I can't do it.
It's like seeing a clown. You're like, is that supposed to be terrifying? I see you in my nightmares, but it's not really terrifying.
That's not doing it for me. You know, in Dallas, they've lost their last two. They're, you know, four, I believe, on a four-game road trip. Let me check that. No, six-game road trip. And wow. Yeah. So they just finished a six-game road trip. They lost their last two and face, you know, they're going to host the Sharks on Thursday. So I don't know. Yeah. As I said, none of that team. It's like, you know, it's the clown. You see the clown shoes. Now, granted, Sagan, Klingberg, Ben, Radulov, all double digit points. But I don't know. I look at that team and you look at the points that the team is sharing right now. They are pretty, it's spread out. There's a tonight with the Wild. You could look at Suter, Parise, Eric Staal, who was actually scratched tonight. You could look, there's like four guys that are putting up 70% of the offense for the Wild. It's a lot more spread out for Dallas. So the Sharks are going to have to play better in that regard and be more balanced. When we talk about post-teal syndrome, remember Roman Polak, member of the Dallas Stars. So watch out there.
That would be great. I would love to see us victimize him.
Right. And the goalie situation there too. I mean, you've got Bishop, 6-5 right now, Khudobin, 2-1, and both of them, I mean, a goals against, 221 for Khudobin, 240 for Bishop. Save percentages, Bishop is 921, Khudobin is 929. I would think that you go with Khudobin against the Sharks, but we'll see what happens. But again, you know, it's kind of, you face one, you face the other, it's not going to be that much of a difference. The Sharks just have to play a balanced game, and I would expect that we will see Tomáš Hertl back for that one.
Yeah, since he skated this morning, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I heard he skated this morning and
it was a game time decision. Fine,
saying it was game time decision. So unless there's something really wrong with him that's not showing up, I expect him to be back next game. So our next two games, we have a back-to-back. So at Dallas on Thursday, at St. Louis on Friday. I think that the Sharks can definitely get both of those, but I would say at least get a 50-50 split, because after that you have a homestand of six games where you have Calgary, Nashville, Toronto, you know, Patrick Marleau-Dumingue's homecoming, St. Louis, Edmonton, and Vancouver. So a lot of Western Conference teams there, several in the division, get a chance to maybe start pulling away. I mean, this is the time of season the Sharks need to start getting more consistent, because, you know, up to this point, they've been kind of hot and cold. They haven't really found their legs yet.
And you get St. Louis twice in five games. And the funny thing about St. Louis is a lot of people, the prognosticators, if you will, all projected that the Central was going to be a dogfight between Nashville and Winnipeg. And most people had that St. Louis was going to be the team that slotted into that third spot. And right now they are at the bottom of the Central, not the start that they expected.
Hey guys, my expiration date has just expired here over in Nashville. So I'm going to have to wish you all a good night and go to bed.
So yeah, that is a Rocket Backhander. You have any final thoughts before you go?
Nope. My name is Rocket Backhander. Check me out on Instagram, Rocket Backhander, one word, or follow me on Twitter, capital R, capital B, little Backhander 76, Rocket Backhander 76.
Signing off.
Have a good night, Rocket.
Good night, y'all.
Have das good night.
Right?
We have ways of being you have a good night if you don't, otherwise. That is Mr. Rocket Backhander. If you aren't following her on Twitter, you should. She, you know, honestly, better follow than I am. So if you're following me and not her, unfollow me and follow her. There you go. Anyways, yeah, like you're saying, St. Louis, definitely not the start of the season they were expecting. I mean, that's pretty rough. They don't have a horrible goal differential as some teams. So I don't think, it doesn't look to me like they're as far off as maybe the standings would imply. But definitely they want to see more than what they're seeing right now. In the Pacific, the standings as it is right now, we have three teams with 19 points. Who would have picked this? The Sharks, Vancouver, and Calgary, all with 19 points. Calgary with one more row than the other two.
I'm just getting such a kick. I don't know what I'm getting more of a kick out of. The fact that Calgary is at number one, and not that I thought that they would be any slouch of the, you know, any way, shape, or form. I, you know, in my mind, I was potting them like three or four. But to see Vancouver, who the vast majority of people were saying would carry the basement for the Pacific this season, you have to be shocked by the success that they've had so far. Now, can they carry that beyond 14, 15 games? And let's talk about them when it comes All-Star break. But it's, you know, take a snapshot of the standings now, people. I don't think it's going to be much clearer. I don't think it's going to look too much like this. And Felix talked about Pettersson. Elias Pettersson. Holy crap. But, dude, it's not like they didn't have some talent there already with, you know, a Brock Besser. I mean, they've got a couple pieces. I think maybe some people thought that the departure of the Sedins was going to be more impactful than it actually was. So,
I mean, there's arguments you made that at that point they were taking away as much as they're giving. And I'm not trying to disrespect them. The simple fact is they were in the twilights of their I don't know what is the plural of twilights.
We have ways of making you retire, Sedins.
Yes, but also they have played one more game than the other two teams. They are a minus four in goal differential. I think they're the only team in a playoff spot right now that has a negative goal differential, other than Buffalo and Columbus, and they're the worst of the bunch. So yeah. I would say highly likely that is sustainable.
Yeah, and they're also almost dead even over their last 10, you know, 5-4-1. I mean, so barely playing 500 hockey. I think they took advantage of some people underestimating. I mean, let's be honest, Vancouver like screams trap game right now if you're on the road. So I think they took advantage of a couple of things being underestimated, and let's talk in a month from about Vancouver and see where we're at now.
And this is where Puck Guy comes bursting through the wall like Kool-Aid Man. Did somebody say Vancouver? Oh, yeah. Anyway,
with that, I think it's time to wrap up.
Yeah, it's definitely time to wrap up. It's getting late. It is past my bedtime probably. So with that, let's just do final thoughts here. I'll let you go first. I'll give mine and we'll wrap this one up.
Hopefully we see Hurdle back once the Sharks begin the road trip tomorrow. Get those lines more balanced out. I like the fact that there are certain players that maybe you don't look at as spark plugs, but are starting to turn into that, whether it's a Suomela, a Sorensen, a Goodrow, who finally, after what seems like years, barked his way out of the doghouse. So I like seeing that. Like to see a little more on the score sheet from the blue line. And I'd like to see the Sharks get back to crashing the net. But they got back to their winning ways after, not winning a game in regulation for the last five, as we said earlier. So, you know, keep build on these last two games versus Philly, versus the Wild. Get back to what was making you successful during that six-game stretch. That's my offering. So on the Twitter and Instagram, AJ_Strong on both. Also throwing up some grams for the Teal Town USA, and a couple people. There was a giveaway tonight. You've seen it before. The shark head figurine. It's over there. I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. But that was the promotional offering this evening. If you purchased the correct ticket. Many of you probably did not. And because of that, we will be giving one of those away down the line, but you have to increase your chances. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, give us a review on iTunes. We check these social media channels, people. And if we see your name on what it's, oh wow, that person follows us on SoundCloud. Oh, that's an entry. Oh, they subscribe on YouTube. That's an entry for them. They gave us a review on iTunes. That's an entry. The entries increase your chances, people, is what I'm saying. So check out our social media channels. We'll be giving one of those away. And we're going to be giving away a couple other things here pretty soon that I think you might be interested in. So there you go.
There you go. Follow us on all the soch. We have ways of making you if you don't. But yes, the Instagram, the SoundCloud, iTunes. And on that subject, I mean, that means if you need audio only, we got audio only. It's on like everything. Be sure to friend us on MySpace as well. We're on Adult Friend Finder, probably. All the social Tinder. Media you can ever imagine. Yeah, we're on Tinder. Please swipe. Is it right or I don't even know. Is it right or left? Whichever way. But whichever way is good, swipe that way on us. My final thoughts for the night is, Sharks, it's time to go streaking, baby. And not in the Tinder sense. It's in the sense of let's rack up some wins. Let's not just kind of revel between good and bad. And AJ has the shark head right there.
It's coming. It's coming for you. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Dun, 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 dun.
Not really understanding why they use the Screaming Shark logo at the bottom, because this is, you know, been around. Wow, FUD syndrome strikes again. Been around a lot longer than this logo, but still, look at the size of this thing, people. This is extraordinary. So, anyway, follow all the social media channels. You could win this awesome, cool little figurine.
And follow AJ for Kayla Cam later on.
Coming up this evening.
He has like this camera and everything positioned there, ready to put Kayla on the internet. And with that, so my name, I'm Chris. You can find me on Twitter at ChrisJWS. Be sure to check out TealTownUSA.com. If you are new here, hit the subscribe. Hit the like, whether you're new here or not. It helps us out, helps people find us in the search, makes it easier for us to grow. We appreciate it. If you hate it, honestly, it helps in the algorithm too if you downvote it. Whatever you want to do, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do, we're not going to tell you how to do it. Anyways, with that, Sharks win 4-3 over the Wild. Good night, good time. AJ, you had one final thought?
Yeah, I see a couple of people in the chat saying that they don't have iTunes. You can leave comments on the SoundCloud too.
Yeah, SoundCloud, you know, you can give us a like on SoundCloud, Google Play as well. Basically, any podcatcher platform. We're even on, I believe we're on Spotify as well. We're everywhere.
I don't think we're on Spotify yet, but okay. Just about everything but.
If there's a podcatcher you like that we're not on, let us know and we'll try to get on there. So
slide into those DMs, yo.
Yeah, slide into our DMs at TealTownUSA on Twitter. Follow us there. Follow us everywhere. And I think with that, we are definitely ready to go. Have a good night, everyone, and go Sharks.